Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the New York Post, Andrew, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing well. How you doing?
We're doing all right, man. Listen, we're all hoping to get sports back. There's a lot of things to navigate through to get there. But if baseball doesn't, you know, totally implode on itself, hopefully we'll get that back. Basketball back in July. Which are you more hopeful for? Which do you think we'll see on the court / field first there, Andrew, baseball or basketball?
Between those two, it's a tough one. I think they'll be about neck and neck, because I just think if you look at their plans and where they're going at the moment. But if you had to pin me down, I'd say baseball. I think they'll be a little bit more aggressive, a lot more hurdles, but I do think they're a little bit more motivated to get going quicker than basketball, because basketball has some time. Even if they start a little bit later in July, they can maybe even go into August. And so baseball is trying to get 82 games in for the regular season and then postseason. So I think they're pretty motivated to get going as quickly as possible.
Do you think part of the reason baseball will come back is because of Mad Dog Russo's harsh words for the players? He is always on the side of the owners, which I never get, but do you think that factors in here?
No, I don't think that factors in. Dog has a big voice. He does work for MLB Network. But, you know, I think when you look at this, the messaging for the players is much more difficult than the owners. For whatever reason, you know, people side with ownership. He's kind of faceless in most cases for a large degree. And players making millions of dollars, nobody really wants to hear from Blake Snell or – you know, others, you know, kind of pleading their case, but to be pled in terms of what they deserve to be paid as compared to the owners who have equity in their teams and who should really bear the most financial risk, especially since the players are going to take the most, you know, physical risk in terms of putting themselves out there during this pandemic. So they have a good case. It's just hard to win that public relations battle against the owners.
Andrew Marchand's our guest. This golf event that happened last weekend, I watched a little bit of it, actually probably quite a bit of it. I thought it was interesting. I mean, they were able to do it with six cameras and a drone, basically doing the remote broadcast and all that stuff. Now, the golf wasn't great, obviously, because the players were a little rusty. But you know, this weekend with the Tiger, Mickelson-Brady-Manning match, how do you think this is going to go off? And is there anything that they could have learned from maybe a broadcast standpoint from this last match this past weekend?
And they're all the networks are going to be learning as they go forward. I mean, I think this one will be a little bit more, I think there'll be more to this one. I think Turner had been working on their event longer. Charles Barkley is one of the analysts. Justin Thomas, who I talked to the other day, he's going to be a course reporter. So I do think there is some good dialogue that we might get from this event. And, you know, talking to Justin the other day, he just was mentioning that when they get to the back nine, these guys are really going to be going after it. So, I mean, I thought the golf was pretty good the other day in terms of what they did. But I do think the production probably would be a little bit more thorough for the Turner event.
We're talking with Andrew Marchand of the Post. Andrew, let's talk some NFL announcers here, because Tessitore and Booger, who were awful on Monday Night Football, are out. They haven't announced yet who's going to replace them. There's been talk of them staying internal. I think that's a bad call. What do you think they're going to end up doing? What do you think they should end up doing with Monday Night Football?
Well, why do you think it's a bad call?
To stay internal? I don't think they have a good play-by-play guy for it. I mean,
How about Bob Wischusen?
I mean, Bob's fine. I like Bob. But I don't know. I don't think they have the right guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair point. But it's not kind of a fantasy draft. So let's say you thought they should get Ian Eagle or Kevin Burkhardt, whose contracts are up after this season. They're not available. I doubt CBS or Fox would let them out if ESPN wanted them. And where we are in terms of the financials, I don't know if ESPN's going to go looking to spend big money to bring another play-by-play guy in. So I think they're kind of forced to look internal. I think if I were them, I would have considered Adam Amin as well.
Yes.
And then Steve Levy with shoes in. I think Dave Pasch is someone who they've kind of overlooked. But it does look like I think it's going to be Levy. The only wild card is if, and it doesn't look like this is going to happen at the moment, but if we didn't have college football, then maybe they'd move Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit over. And as far as the analysts, it'd probably be one or two of Dan Orlovsky, Lewis Riddick, and or Brian Greasy. So if they go two-man, they'll pick one of them. Greasy and Levy have worked together. Orlovsky has been the up-and-comer, in studio the last 2 years. And Lewis Riddick's been there for a little while, has done some games. And so I think those are the candidates if they, which I think are the most likely scenario.
You know, there were some recent hires Fox had made. Obviously, they take Adam Amin. They get Emmanuel Acho from ESPN as well. I read your article. It looks like they're trying to get Jonathan Vilma even possibly in on some games, on Fox. Of course, maybe some NFL stuff. What do you think is going to be the fallout from all that?
Well, I think when you look at what Fox is trying to do is they're trying to increase their depth. That's been an issue for both CBS and Fox in terms of their depth of analysts. It's one of the reasons Tony Romo got such a humongous contract. They didn't have a number two that they wanted to promote, and then they let go Dan Fouts. So Fox, they have their eyes on Greg Olson. I think he'll probably end up with them for next season, going on the assumption he retires after this year with Seattle. I mean, he was going to retire. Then the Seahawks offered $7 million. Russell Wilson came calling, chance to win a Super Bowl. And so I think that was a surprise to Olsen even to end up playing another year. So he's the long-term. And then Vilma, I think the guy could be pretty good. I think he has the characteristics you look for an analyst. And I don't know if that's going to happen. Definitely ESPN doesn't want him to return. And then Adam Amin was a very good hire, young guy, but up-and-comer. And again, like I said, I would have considered him for Monday night because, you might say he's a little raw, he's a little young, maybe, but I think you have to judge what you hear. And also the personality, when you talk about something like Monday night, it's not just doing, it's a larger assignment. It's just, you're kind of an ambassador in some respects. You have to handle the media a little bit more, sponsors more, and there's more focus on you. And I do think he has the personality where he could have done that. So I would have considered him, but look, Levy to me is not your perfect play-by-play guy. He is a ESPN lifer. He's been there a long time. And so, when you look at, Levy, he does fit, in terms of knowing how to kind of deal with the spotlight. Is he up for being the number one guy? I don't think he's your prototypical number one guy in the Joe Buck, Al Michaels type of equation that you kind of think of in that role.
Andrew, as the TV networks look to navigate what could go from a nothing schedule to an incredibly action-packed late summer-fall schedule and have some sports at unusual times, some of the big golf majors are going to be in the fall. We could see, the NBA Finals in September. How do you think they decide, which takes priority over the other?
They decide by which one's played with a football. I think that's number one.
Yeah, sure.
So I think, that they'll go on whichever's the most important in terms of their ratings. I obviously have an event like the Masters, which if you look at how the NFL schedule was constructed and if we have no postponements or changes, CBS only has two games that day, so they made it so the Masters will be center stage for that day on CBS. So, yeah, there will be some juggling, and I do think there's some concerns from some sports where they could get, if you talk about the World Series or something, I think it would be embarrassing for baseball if it ended up somehow on FS1 instead of Fox. But I think they'll figure it out. I think you got to go back to, I kind of said this a few times in some interviews. I think of a children's book when my kids were younger. You get what you get and you don't get upset. And so I think it's one of those things where everyone's going to have to suck it up a little bit because of the situation we're in and just figure it out, even though it might not be perfect.
Andrew, what do you think about the idea of crowd noise being pumped in on these games, certainly football games? I know they've done it for the baseball stuff, and just to add a little bit to it, I know Joe Buck was recently on a podcast and said that they're planning to do it at Fox. I'm curious your thoughts on that aspect of it.
Yeah, there's two things that I've reported on. That Fox has also looked into virtual fans. Now, my first instinct is, I don't like it. I'd rather, see and hear what is really going on. But people I trust who've seen it, it looks exactly how you used to watch, and the viewing experience is so much greater. So I'm not going to have to think about it longer and harder, especially if I write something about it, in terms of, do you want just reality and kind of reminded of the pandemic and it's not really what's going on at the stadium, or do you like the visual where, and again, I'm told that, with these companies and a lot of people out there play video games and they're realistic, how realistic they are now, but that it really is realistic. It's not like they're using old footage of games and superimposing them. It's, they create the people and they react accordingly to what's going on in the field. And again, it looks real. So I'm kind of torn in terms of how I personally feel, but people I've spoken to do say it does look and sound better. I think it comes down to this, though, ultimately for each of these sports. If you're passionate and love a sport, Dustin, like football, for example, I'm sure for you, is that it's not going to really matter if the fans are there. But if you're a fringe fan who kind of doesn't necessarily love the game or the sport or notice the nuances of it, then that might be more of a factor. Because I don't know, when I watch, German league soccer and, it's a world feed. The production's not really that great. Announcers weren't that good. But I like the sport a lot, so I could get over it. But I do think that, there's some friends and acquaintances who are fringe fans of soccer. I think they didn't feel the excitement because there were no fans. It wasn't the atmosphere that you're used to if you watch European soccer. So I think that's where the line's drawn for those issues.
Andrew, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. You're welcome, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.